What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically, the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here at TK Show, recording from the home studio. Really glad to have on as my guest, I think, for the first official time. And on another side time, but as the official guest of the TK Show, Giants president of baseball operations today, Buster.
Great, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I imagine it is busy for you. A little more than three months into this job, running the president of baseball ops. Your first time in running a team, first time in an administration job. Just kind of wanted to check in with you. Like, how has it gone? Has it gone like about the pace, the tempo that you might have expected? Has it been different? You know, staff meetings and agent calls and maybe ownership calls. What's it been like for you these first few months?
It's been good. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I honestly went into it, I think, with not really having any expectations of what the workload would be. I guess the best way to describe it is it's somewhat ebbs and flows. I think like a lot of things, you know, there's certain weeks that are really busy and then there's certain weeks that aren't as busy, but I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's baseball talk, you know, every single day with a group of people that love the game of baseball and, you know, internal conversations with the group we're constantly brainstorming, bouncing ideas off of one another and, you know, trying to figure out how we can put the best team on the field. And, as you mentioned, staff calls, coaching staff, communicating with trainers and, minor league and having Randy Wynn team up with Kyle Haynes has been great. Randy's on top of, just kind of, you know, getting the overall vision and identity that we want to of who we want to be when we step on the field. So yeah, it's been enjoyable.
Really did look like you kind of came into this with a kind of like a couple stage plan. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but like, first of all, get your staff together, right? Surround yourself with the people that you trust, and many of these people are people you've known. Was that the first step, and how do you think that went? Were these the people you kind of were thinking, these are the people I want to walk into this with?
Yes, I think so. I was open-minded too. I mean, I think I mentioned in Zach's press conference that he wasn't necessarily a name that was on my radar right away, but sitting down with him a few times felt like we connected really well. He's, you know, his commitment to being in the area. I think he's lived in the city now for 6 years. He and his wife love being here, and it's not the reason you hire somebody, but with his background and scouting, and he's just got a great way with people. I mean, I was thinking today, he's having to travel right now, but the office is different when he's not around. Yeah. He brings an energy, and he's been great. And so, yeah, I'd say that's fair, Tim. Just, I mean, I think we all hope to daily interact with people that we're going to enjoy being around. So far, so good.
You didn't really go too much with the outside people. You know, you didn't know Zach real well, so maybe he's a little bit outside your circle. But were you thinking about, like, maybe we can go get somebody from another team that has different kinds of experiences? I'm sure you did talk to people from other teams. Kind of what was that process like?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, we interviewed a handful, 5-6 people from other teams, and it was a process. I mean, I think I was a little bit naive to thinking – in thinking that it would happen quicker than what it did. But there's a lot of great people in the industry, and probably could have picked a number of them and been in a good spot as well. But ultimately, like I said, thrilled for Zach to be the general manager.
Really did seem like you kind of zeroed in on Willie Adames. Like, that was a guy, a position for sure. And the guy that you said, let's get, and you did it before the winter meetings. There wasn't a lot of hubbub. There wasn't a lot of rumors. There wasn't a long process. Was all that important to you to do it quick, do it before the meetings, and kind of like underline the guy you want first and foremost?
It was. I mean, I think we all felt as a group that Willie checked so many boxes for us. Shortstop is most definitely a spot that we had a need. And, you know, with his offensive prowess and defensive as well. And then, you know, on top of that, the makeup and the personality, we felt really good about it. And, you know, considered multiple options and ultimately did get aggressive there before the winter meetings, and we're happy that we got it done when we did.
Did you feel like you needed to get it done before the winter meetings? Just get it done off the plate and that other things can deal, go to other things?
I'd say there was, I definitely had that sense, right? I mean, you're trying to weigh other options, and you're also looking at the market and trying to predict how things might shake out. And I think there was a sense that it was important to try to act quickly. And who knows if that's going to, you know, that's how it's going to transpire going forward with other free agents. But for that one, yeah, that made sense for us.
You guys were not, at least publicly, in the Juan Soto market. I'm not sure how much you were in with the Corbin Burns, Blake Snell. Was there a conscious decision? Like, there's going to be a certain class of agents or a certain process that you're not going to be a part of?
Look, I think the best way to answer that is we definitely had players targeted that we felt like made us better. Obviously, you had a guy like Juan Soto, you had a guy like Corbin Burns, you're going to be better. But taking in other factors as well, you know, and trying to figure out where you can most wisely spend your time and that, you know, energy as well. I think we took that into account, and I'm so new at this, but I just want to keep an open mind and all these players and, try to answer it without getting too much into the details, because mm-hmm. that's going to be one of my defaults as well. As I just personally don't know how well it serves us to get into the weeds with some of these negotiations and thoughts. And obviously you want to give the fan base insight and for them to understand decisions. But at the same time, I think you have to be aware that there's some stuff that puts us in a worse position if it's made public.
Yeah, probably a one you won't want to talk too much in detail, but Zach did mention yesterday at the conference call for the Zoom call for Justin Verlander signing. We will get into Verlander. The rookie Sasaki informed you that he would not be signing with the Giants. You guys both didn't look real thrilled about it. I know it must not have been a happy time, but what was your reaction to that? Is it a little bit of a gut shot when you do try to make a real legitimate effort to sign someone like him and he tells you that he's not coming?
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, there's going to be 29 teams out there that are disappointed ultimately. You know, some knew probably sooner than we did that they were out of the running. But, you know, obviously a great talent, a great arm. You know, the way I look at it, Tim, is I'm just proud of, I guess, the group and the effort that they made. Zach had put, even before I was on board here, a ton of legwork in with going over to Japan and establishing relationships. And then, you know, the team putting together really quickly, you know, a video that highlighted the ballpark, highlighted the city, the culture. So ultimately, I mean, I look at it that we put our best foot forward. You know, that's what we can control. And then ultimately you have to be okay with that if you feel like you've made your best effort and that's all you can do.
You weren't the number one guy for some of the past ones, Ohtani, Yamamoto, and we can go on through there, but you were in on some of this. Is there, you know, the fans are like, the Giants cannot get one of these guys. What do they have to do to get one of these guys? Is there a conversation within your walls? Like, yeah, there's got to be a way where we're better set up to land one of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the obvious answer is if somebody like this is we've got to take care of business on the field going forward, right? I mean, I think you're in a better position if you go and get in the playoffs, make a deep run in the playoffs. It's going to be attractive. So that's really where the focus has to be is let's look at 25, what's in front of us, and go take care of business on the field, and then hopefully we'll be in a good spot.
This team is historically a team that signed the first Japanese player, has had other Asian players, Jung-Hoo Lee last year. But is there some feeling that, you know, disappointment that the Japanese players, the biggest Japanese players and others from maybe from Korea have not wanted to come to the Giants?
That's not my sense. I personally don't have that feeling whatsoever. As you mentioned, Jung-Hoo. I got to play with Nori Aoki. By all accounts, everybody's had great experiences here. So hard to put your thumb, your finger on it exactly, maybe why they make the decision. But I don't have that sense whatsoever that there's a particular reason why they don't want to come here.
You'll continue to be scouting and negotiating with Japanese and Asian players, I imagine.
Yeah, most definitely.
You signed Justin Verlander, obviously a very entertaining call with us yesterday. It did feel, I know you're not signing someone just for presence. You're not someone signing somebody just for vibes, but man, it definitely feels like he's got a big presence on a call, obviously on the mound. How much is that a factor? Knowing your clubhouse, knowing your young pitchers, like I just want to bring a guy that you can feel it when he walks into a room.
I think it matters. Like you said, you don't sign a guy just for that, but it's an added bonus for sure. I mentioned it yesterday in the press conference with him that we're hopeful that Justin Verlander is going to be pitching at the top of our rotation and pitching very well. And I know that's his goal as well. But there's a lot of benefit for everybody else on that staff. I would even say Webby included. I mean, even though Webby is established at this point, to just watch. I mean, this is a future Hall of Famer. How does he go about his business? How does he walk into the park each day? How does he carry himself during a good outing, a bad outing? What's his work ethic? All of those things, I think, it's hard to measure that value, but I believe they're really important.
Yeah, I mean, he really hasn't had another veteran. Well, I guess there's Rodon, there was some other veterans, but we know how close he was with Kevin Gausman. Do you feel like a similar situation? Like you can, not like you're going to learn at the feet of a master, but you just have someone else you can see maybe take the lead certain days too.
I think so. I mean, Logan has just, the amount of innings pitched the last few years has been as good as it gets. And I think Verlander and he will have that commonality of just being workhorses. And Justin's got, this is 20th season into the big leagues, so just a wealth of knowledge on just the ins and outs of the season, postseason. So there's a lot of good that can come from that.
I definitely have detected a theme. You tell me if it's correct or not, but you mentioned workhorse Verlander. He's had obviously health issues. He's certainly pitched a ton though too. And he's a guy who wants the ball. He's a guy who wants to take a start every fifth day. You've got Willie Adames, 161 games, team captain. You always want the best talent, but were those factors in your mind that rose to preeminence, guys that are affecting the clubhouse because they just post. They show up every day and they don't want to be out of the lineup.
No question. I mean, that's very important to me. It's very important to our group. And I think when you have leaders that act that way, Matt Chapman, Adames, you mentioned, I don't know Jung-Hoo that well, and we only got to see a little bit of him last year, but by all accounts, he's another one of those guys. I mean, the way he got hurt was because he was going hard. And, Verlander, Webby, I think you get a core group of guys that's their way, that's their mentality. And it's hard for everybody else, even if that's not their first nature, to not follow along that. And I think as much as anything, Tim, I'm hopeful we can create that culture, that vibe that when the San Francisco Giants are in town or when you come to play the San Francisco Giants, you're getting every bit of them every single time that you play them.
Are you essentially done for the offseason? I know you never want to say done, but I mean the big pieces, or are there some things that on your checklist that you need to do, say, before training camp starts, spring training?
Yeah, I mean, as you alluded to, you're never going to say you're done. I'd say, you know, most likely we're not going to add to, you know, starting pitching. We feel really good about where our starting pitching is. And with Hicks, Harrison, Birdsong, you've got Roop, you got Wisenhunt knocking on the door. We've got, you know, who else? Black. I'm probably missing somebody in there, but feel really good about that. We'll keep the door open to try to see what we can do offensively. Also, you know, we got to think about the winter that Matos and Encarnacion had. We're excited about that for Ramos to build. You know, believe a tandem hopefully with Flores and Wade over there at first will be really productive. So we feel like we're in a good spot, but as you mentioned, you're always going to keep your door open.
Bryce Eldridge, you know, number one prospect, a guy everyone's looking at. Do you think he could be in the majors this year, maybe back end of this year? And how much of your planning has to be like, we cannot block this guy, right? First base is not something where you can get someone and sign them to a 3-year deal, because that's where Eldridge is going to end up and maybe being a central focus of your offense.
Yeah, I think everybody is really excited about Bryce. I mean, I think it's important to realize, too, that he's just had one full season in the minors as a 19-year-old last year. So does that mean that he's not going to knock the door down and force us to make a decision later in the year? No, it doesn't. But there's going to be other factors in that decision as well. And number one, all the upside that I think we see with Bryce, we want to make sure that he gets the necessary reps in the minors, and not just offensively. You know, it's important at the big league level that you're strong defensively. I think, you know, I've mentioned it multiple times since I've taken this role, is that pitching and defense wins. So yes, we need offense. Yes, you've got to score runs. But, you know, from my experience being in those big games, the teams that pitch the ball and catch the ball are usually in a good spot to win the game.
When you first came up in 2009, you got a little taste, didn't get a lot of reps. But how important was that time for you? That kind of come up in October, September, I guess it was September, right? And get a little feel for it. Was that a big moment for you? And did that translate? You didn't make the 2010, you know, opening day roster, but you're there in the middle of, you know, pretty early in 2010. What did the 2009 kind of taste do for you?
I thought it was important. Yeah, as you mentioned, I didn't play that much, but to get a feel, a sense of the crowd, what pregame would be like, postgame, a little bit of travel, I think it was helpful. Now, I went to the fall league after that, and I was absolutely horrendous in the fall league. So, you know, and I honestly don't know if that was the worst thing for me either, you know, because I came into camp that next spring really hungry to prove that that was just a blip in the radar. So, yeah, I'd say it was helpful. But like so many other things, I think it's just dependent on the person.
Patrick Bailey, you've talked a lot about him. Obviously, I know you watch him carefully. A lot of talent, great defensive catcher. He did have some really bad offensive numbers in the second half, specifically, I think, in August. What do you attribute that to? What can be – and it's the second straight year where he's really fallen off offensively in the second half. Not defensively, but offensively. How do you address that? Where do you go with that? And like, can that be fixed? Are there real tools to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I think as a big league player, you're evaluating every year and you're trying to figure out the stuff that you feel is a weakness, how you can turn it into a strength. And you're also looking at the things that are strength as well. And how do you either continue that or even and better those strengths? And, you know, I know it's something that he worked hard on the previous offseason, and hard to say, you know, exactly why. I'm sure he has his thoughts on maybe why the offensive numbers slipped. But to me, Patrick Bailey's defensive value outweighs anything he does offensively. So if we get him, you know, leading the staff, continuing to be a great receiver behind the plate, controlling the running game, we're going to be in a really good spot. And it's something I plan to talk to him about this spring, is There's going to be a lot of chatter. Okay, 2 years in a row, you know, we're talking about it right now. You fell off the second half of the season. But for me personally, if we have Bailey leading the staff and leading the staff well late into the year, I'm going to be happy with that. I mean, obviously you want some offensive production. But if this guy can truly lead a staff and do all those, have all those intangibles behind the plate that creates a winning team, then we're going to be really happy.
Not sure you're going to answer this one, but what do you think you added most value was as a player, defensively or offensively?
I tried to do both as well as I could. It probably depended on if I was on a hit streak or a slump. That's probably the best way to answer it. I took a lot of pride too, Tim, and just the behind the scenes work with the pitchers and making sure I was available to them, whether it's pregame, postgame, getting to know them, understand their personality, how they're motivated, and being able to read them as well. Right. I think that was something I took a lot of pride in, was what's this guy's, when he walks in the clubhouse, what's his body posture? What's his facial expressions? Being available to be an ear for them and also push a little bit when it needed to be pushed. So there's definitely, the catcher position is just so unique because you can impact the game in more ways than just what shows up, what you're doing at the plate or behind the plate.
And that informs what pitches you call, right? Or what he feels good with, or what you want to challenge him to throw, I imagine. Like, it's just all part of the formula for being a catcher.
I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, some of those, you never know, like, if you're in crunch time in the ninth inning and when something might pop into your mind about a conversation you had with a pitcher a day prior that might lead you to call a pitch or not to call a pitch.
You mentioned on a previous podcast, I know you love doing all these podcasts, Buster, and I listen to them religiously. This must be you took this job, you said, I need to do as many podcasts as possible.
Yeah,
but yeah. On the Jason Starkville podcast, you mentioned Bumgarner. You talked to Madison, like, he might want to have a role. He didn't know anything official. Have you had more conversations about that? Could we see Bumgarner around the team in the next few years?
Yeah, it's ongoing. I mean, look, I don't think Bum would mind me saying this. It's been this way for him since I've known him. We'll have conversations, then I don't hear from him for a while, and so it's ongoing. I would love to have him around. Feel like there's a lot of value add, and obviously what he accomplished here would be great for us to have him around.
Just that, you know, we talk about presence, huh? You talk about someone who can say a lot without saying very much, just by standing there. I know you got to do what you do. It's the teams in your division or the league do what they do. You can't base your stuff on what, say, the Dodgers are doing. But the Dodgers might get Sasaki. They got Blake Snell. Arizona gets Corbin Burns. This is not a division. Padres are in there with Sasaki. We know how good they are. This is, Verlander mentioned it, this is a tough division. This is not a division for the meek and the weak. What is your, mood as you see these transactions happen and you see these really good teams get even better? Specifically, we know the defending champion Dodgers now.
Yeah, I mean, look at it as a competitor. You want to face the best, and there's no doubt in my mind the NL West is the best division in baseball. I mean, and because of the teams you mentioned and the amount of talent they have on those teams. So I think you just have to look at it as an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to be battle tested throughout the year and hopefully win enough games to be in it late and competing to win a division, to get into the playoffs. And I think you're made stronger by some of those trials and tribulations that'll come along.
Is the roster you have right now, or whatever tinkering you might end up doing by opening day or into the opening past opening day, competitive with the Dodgers in your mind?
Look, I mean, I think the way I look at that is, and we've all watched, it's what we love about sports, right? You never know until you go and play on the field and see how it shakes out. And I just think back to our team in 2021, when I think if anybody had told you that team was going to win 107 games, they would have laughed right in your face and not felt bad about it whatsoever. So I'm very optimistic with the guys that we have on our roster, that we can go and put a great product on the field.
All right, Buster, I will end this with a question I've not asked you before, but I ask all my guests on the TK show, at least a version of it. Buster, what's your favorite TV show right now?
You know, I just caught up and finished Yellowstone. I don't know if you've watched that or not.
I've heard about it. I've not watched it, but yeah. I've watched some other shows like that guy's done. Some really.
It was entertaining, maybe a little bit over the top at times, but my wife will tell you, I think when I grow up one day, I want to be like a mediocre cowboy. So I kind of got into that a little bit, but. We'll see. So yeah, I've enjoyed that one.
Are you a Kevin Costner guy?
He's a good actor. Yeah, he's a good actor.
All the baseball stuff. You watch any of his baseball movies?
Of course. Yeah. Well, there's some baseball references in there as well.
Yep. All right, Buster. Listen, I appreciate the time. I appreciate I appreciate the media stuff. Are you liking the media stuff? Is there something like, you know what? I can do it, or is it a little bit of a pain for you right now?
I don't know.
There's the posy. I mean, but you're speaking for a team, right? You're representing a team, a bit like you were as a player, but obviously in a much broader sense. I'm sure you knew you were going to have to do these things, I imagine. Has it come relatively comfortably for you?
I'd say so. Yeah. I mean, look, as a player, you get some experience doing it. And I think I'm trying to look at it too. Doing these things is an opportunity for the fan base to, you know, hear our thoughts, hear what we're thinking and kind of the direction we're going. And so, yeah, I like it, Tim. How about
that? Oh, yeah, go. There we go. I had to pull it out of you how much Buster Posey loves doing it. Now, listen, I appreciate all the time, Buster. I appreciate the conversations we've had. I hope we have many more. But thanks so much for being on the show.
You got it. Good talking to you.
Buster Posey, everybody. Thanks so much. That's the show for today.